Truly, God has been teaching us some very, very fundamental aspects of what it means to be a Christian. Now, I would let you know, my brothers and sisters, that God's interest is not only in us making heaven. You know, if you ask anybody, after you die, what happens? Everybody says, I want to go to heaven. Right? That is normally the question. Even when we go on evangelism, our focus is on the eternity of the person, the afterlife. That after the person dies, what happens? But do you know that God is also interested in how you live today? Not only after you die. God is also interested in how you live today. Over the past few weeks, we have learned about our charisma and character. Charisma being that which God has gifted you with to do. In the world, they call it EQ, emotional intelligence, you know, personality, talent, and all that. And we dealt with character also. Which one is more important? As Pastor Oshet let us know, your charisma, your talents, everything, where does it end? Here. But do you know that your character speaks after you? In my language of birth, the transliteration of this proverb is that your character is like smoke. No matter how you hide it, it will always find a way out. Anybody who dies, what do they say? Ah, it was like this. It was like that. Some people will remember this person as a wicked person. Some people will say he was a stingy person. Some people say she was a loving person. She gave everything. Your character is what is remembered after you are gone. We learned about love. Love. Even if you give your body to be burnt on the stake and have not love, it profits you nothing. We learned about waiting on God till God takes the initiative to move us forward. So we've been learning some fundamental things, which this is what Christianity is about. I was listening yesterday to some, well, in quotes, men of God, and I saw that, you see, as we are learning these truths, there are some insidious, devilish things also being introduced into the church today, which we have to be careful about. Because what I'm about to share with us this morning, the basis of it can be eroded if you hold on to certain things that are being taught as scripture today, but have their origins in the New Age movement. How many of you have ever heard some preachers make the statement that whatever you visualize, just believe it and you will have it? You've heard it before. You've heard it before. Do you know that that is from the devil? I'm telling you, believe me, but I will show you. Most of what these preachers say, for you to visualize, and it will come to you. If not 90% of it, maybe 98% of it is always something material. Car, house, money is always something material. Some people call it the law of attraction. Now, I'm not saying that those laws don't happen. They do happen. They do happen. If you visualize something, eventually it might come, good or bad. But what is rooted in the word of God is different from what these preachers preach that have they've been smuggling into the church small by small, but they have their roots not in Christianity. Some have their roots in Buddhism, some have their roots in New Age, some have their different places, but not of Christ. Remember the parable that the Lord Jesus Christ taught, that in those days, A farmer went to plant good seed. Farmers will plant wheat. And in the night, an enemy came of that farmer and planted bad seeds, tares, as they called it. They're like wheat. If you look at tares and wheat growing up when they are young, you can't differentiate it. They're very, very similar in structure. When you will know when tares and wheat, where this one is tares and chaff and empty, is when they have grown up, given time. Then you will know that, this one has no kernel inside. This one is empty. This one has the full kernel. This one is wheat. And those are the times in which we are living, brothers and sisters. Those are the times in which we are living, where it is very, very difficult at times to distinguish between those who have smuggled New Age movement and those who have come to church for their own carnal purposes. There are certain messages itself. You don't know which one is which. You begin to question yourself, which one do I believe? Some will say this, some will say that. What we try to do here, let's open what? The Bible. Therein, we can't go wrong. We can't go wrong. Now, all we've been learning, there's an aspect I want to teach us today. That aspect is, when Tommy, you've graduated, right? Okay, you are working, right? Okay, what do you work as? You work as a communications assistant. That is your profession. Did you start out as a communications assistant? No. You had to go to university to do what? To study some things, to learn some things. Okay. Today, I want to teach us, I want to show us some of God's university before we get to the place where certain things can begin to be matured in us to show the world. You know that Bible tells us to have faith, right? Abraham is the father of what? Father of faith. Did Abraham just become a man of faith overnight? God took Abraham through a university. And he became, when he graduated, just as you are a communications assistant, he became father of faith. So we have to go through God's university, through God's learning, through God's teaching. And many, did you like your exams when you took exams? Maybe Sister Shade was the only one who loved exams, you know? She was waiting for it. Nope. Maybe it was your husband then that loved exams. He's hiding there. But God's exams, they're not pleasant when we are going through it. But the results, after we've gone through God's school of learning, is that He purifies us. Like Job, He's able to show us off. What did God do to Job? Just said, Satan, look, look at mine. This is mine. And each child of God, that is what God wants to do. When Moses went up to the mountain and he came down, the people, they hid themselves. They said, "Don't, Moses, we don't want to see your face." Why? Because he reflected the glory of God. When you have been with God, you begin to reflect his glory. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. When you go through God's school and you begin to reflect his glory, do you know how you reflect his glory? Those around you who don't want God, they will hate you. Because there's something about the aura of your life which it wants to make them hide. And because of that, they will just not like you. Because the glory of God is reflecting in your face. Now, this university of God, we're going to go through the life of a man, this man of faith called Abraham. Before he became a man of faith, what did God take him through? For the message, title of the message, we can call it Waiting for God. I know we have dealt with waiting on God, waiting for God, about the same thing. Or you can call it the University of God, if you want a subtitle. Let's open to our Bible to the book of Genesis. We'll start from there. Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. Will somebody please volunteer to be the usher today? Please, can you give me some water? Thank you. Genesis chapter 12, I'll read from verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram. Can we all repeat that name? Abram. It is not Abraham. It's Abram. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get out of your country, from your kindred, and from your father's house unto a land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. And in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Question. What did Abraham do? Or what did Abraham do for God to come to him to say that he will do these things for him? Sorry? You sure? Mommy, you sure? He didn't do anything. So was he a righteous man then? No, he wasn't. He was a sinner. Okay. So can God come to sinners and just say God will bless them? Huh? Sorry? He just did. What do they call that? Thank you. For those who don't know, that's what's called grace. You didn't do anything. You are walking gently in your sin. You are loving your sin. Whether I was womanizing, you were woman. Whether I was monetizing, you are looking for money. You didn't like God. Actually, you hated God. You are dead to God. You love the things of the world. Whether I was booze, you loved your booze. Whether I was tobacco, you had your two hands like Brother Wally in those days. He was born righteous, right? But it's called grace. In your sin, God found you out and said he will bless you. Now, let's go on. So, Abraham, God had met with him. Okay, let the latecomers come in and sit down. You don't need to cover your eyes. You are late. Yeah, your seat is here, right there. Next time you'll be late. Okay. All right, so we're reading Genesis chapter 12. So open your Bibles. Where's your Bible? Your phone. You don't have a Bible. Don't carry it around. Okay. It's because it's your generation. All right. So, verse 12. Abraham, in his sin, God met with him. Chapter 12, Abraham in his sin, in his fallen nature, God met with him and God said he will bless him. His name was still Abraham. Okay? Let's move forward. So later on, we know, how old was Abraham here? Around 75. Did he say there? Verse 4. Thank you. Verse 4. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. Lot went with him. And Abraham was how old? 75 years old. Abraham was 75. Okay. Tenny, please help me hold that number, 75. Let's go on to the next chapter, chapter 13. And because there's so many chapters here, I'm just going to summarize it for us. So Abraham left with his father, and Abraham had two other brothers. What were their names? No? It was in the chapter before. Abraham had, Terah was his father. Terah begat Nahor. So it was Abraham, Nahor, and Haran. Those were the three brothers. Nahor, Terah, and Abraham. The last one, Haran, was the father of Lot. Lot was the nephew of Abraham. Lot's father died before Terah died. So he might have died young. So Abraham left home with Lot, his nephew. Okay? In their journey in life, God blessed this man called Abraham. God also blessed his nephew Lot. So they had a lot of material wealth, cattle, silver, gold. And whenever you have material wealth like that, especially if it's an agrarian community in which it's agriculture, you need land. You need water. And there came a time when all the shepherds of Abraham and the shepherds of Lot, they now began to struggle with themselves about the scarce resources. So Abraham told his nephew Lot, look, rather than us fight, you're my nephew, look at the land. The land is plenteous. You choose which one you want to go. If you want to go east, I will go west. If you want to go west, I will go east. But you choose so that we can all have some space between us. So let's now go to verse 10 of chapter 13, the next chapter. Verse 10 of chapter 13. It says, and Lot did what? Lot lifted up his eyes and he looked at the plains of Jordan. Lot lifted up his eyes. Sister Shadi, please, can you let me read verse 14?
The Lord said to Abraham, after Lot had separated from him, lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are.
Okay, can you stop there? Can you tell, what's the difference between verse 10 and verse 14? Does anybody see any contrast? Or any, mommy?
It was Lot that lifted up his eyes. But here, it was God that told Abraham to lift up his eyes.
Brothers and sisters, many of us, when it comes to things about life, we go and do it ourselves. We don't wait for God to say, lift up your eyes. We don't look to God to say, Lord, which one do you want for me? At another time, we'll come to the story of Lot. Because Lot lifted up his eyes and saw the one that his eyes thought was good. And he followed after that one, which he thought was good. Do you know where Lot ended up? Lot ended up in a land called Sodom and Gomorrah. Because actually Sodom and Gomorrah was a thriving place at that time. Lush land, if you read it. He saw that with his eyes that was good. There's a proverb that the elders say in my language, that the elder that is sitting on the bench, he sees further than the child that is standing on his stool. Did you hear that? The elder that is sitting on a bench, he can see further than a child standing on a stool. Lot saw with his eyes, physical eyes, and thought, wow, I have seen that which is good. My heart will go after it. Abraham, on the other hand, looked to God. And God was the one who said, Abraham, lift up your eyes. This is what I will give unto you. Okay? His name was still Abraham. Thank you. Now, let's go further. Like I said, I will just want to condense it. So it went on. Let's go to chapter 15 now. Chapter 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram. I am your shield and your exceeding reward." So God came to Abram here. Okay? After God came to Abraham, this chapter 15, Abraham, from 75 years old, he was now becoming an older man, small by small. His wife was also becoming an older woman, small by small. If he were in today's age, many would have advised Sarah, please do something, because your biological clock is what? That's what they say. Your biological clock is running out. Abraham himself began to look at himself and, look, God said he would make me the father of many nations. He will use me. That means he will give me a child, because for me to be a father of many nations, I have to have my own child, right? Okay. So this had been going on for many years now. God appearing unto him once in a while. God appeared unto him when he said, "Lift up your eyes." God appearing to him here that, look, I will be your exceeding reward. I haven't forgotten you. And something happened after this experience. Sarai, that was her name. Sarai, Abraham's wife, looked at herself and thought, as everybody will think normally, that God has promised this man, my husband, what he has promised. But me, I know I'm barren. No child has come. So if up to this time nothing has happened, look, let's do what? Let's use wisdom. Let's use wisdom. And what was the wisdom? In those times, the wisdom was that if you have a servant, you could let your husband, or you could arrange it that your husband will go in onto your servant. And when your servant is about to give birth, your servant will give birth on your laps. And when that servant gives birth on your laps, the child becomes yours. That was the prevailing wisdom of that time. So Sarai said, "Abraham, my husband, you are not growing any younger. You know, for you to be able to play soccer with the children or whatever God will give me, let's use some wisdom." And so Sarai organized it that Abraham will have her servant to bear the child. And the servant, what was the name of the servant? Hagar had a boy. And at that time, when Hagar had the boy, Abraham was 86 years old. 86 years old. I don't want to go through everything, but so that we can all take. So, when did God's promise come to Abraham? At the age of 75. At this time, he had the son at the age of 86. Okay, for those who know math, Sister Shade, Sister BC, what is 86 minus 75? You know, that's where she's an accountant, but when they just come at you like that, everything just goes. Oh, yeah, now you are calm. What is 11? Are you sure? Okay, 11. So for 11 years, God's promise to Abraham had not yet come to pass. That child was called Ishmael. Who had Ishmael? Hmm? Okay. Who had him? No, no. Who was the father of Ishmael? Eh? Okay. Please, let's note. Abram or Abraham? Abraham. Abraham had that child, Ishmael. Okay? Let's go forward again. So after Abraham had that child, as normal as some women do, they will cause the problem and they will come to the man. It's your problem. So Sarai came to Abraham and said, this woman has been disrespecting me. Look, we have to send her away. Now, by the culture back then, whose child would Ishmael have been? Sarai's child. Sarai's child. But what did she do? That, thank you. That's the word. That's not my own, no. Send her away. Now, let's go forward. Chapter 17 now. Chapter 17 from verse 1. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, when Abram was 99 years old, Penny, the promise came at what age? 75. Ishmael came at what age? 86. Now God came to Abraham again when he was 99. What is 70, 99 minus 75? What's that? 24. 24 years later. God promised Abraham something 24 years ago. Abraham tried to do make God's promise come to pass in his own way, but it did not really work out. And God came 24 years later. And what did God say to Abraham? Abraham, when he was 99, God said to him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be perfect. And I will make my covenant between you, me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with who? With you. And you shall be a father of many nations. Neither shall your name anymore be called Abraham, but you shall be called Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made you. Okay? So at that time, at the age of 99, God came to Abraham and told him, now, let's go to where? Okay. So let's go to chapter 21 now. As I said, there are many, many things that happen in between, but I'm trying to condense everything for us because there are some points I want to bring out today. Chapter 21. And the Lord visited Sarah. So at this time, Sarai's name had been changed to Sarah. By whom? By God. Abraham's name had been changed to Abraham. By whom? By God. Okay? So, and the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. And the Lord, so the year ago when Abraham was 99, God visited them, and that was where he promised them that promise I told you about 24 years ago is going to happen next year. Do you get it? The promise, not that I gave you last week, oh. Not last year's promise, oh. That promise for how long? 24 years ago. It will happen next year. And the Lord visited Sarah, and he said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the set time. At the set time. What is set time? What? God's appointed time. At the set time. So, when God made the promise to Abraham 24 years ago, God had a date in mind. Because God had already set the time. But did God tell Abraham then? No. God had already set the time. At the set time, Abraham, Sarah, his wife, conceived. And Abraham called the name of the son of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Who was the father of Isaac? Who was the father of Ishmael? Abraham. They're under two different dispensations of God's dealing in the life of the same man. Brother Peter. Because God's covenant now had come to, you know, when Jesus Christ said something to his mother, when his mother said that, oh, please, turn this water into wine. What did Jesus Christ say? My time has not yet come. And when his time had come, he began to manifest that which he had not done. You remember, Brother Wale was teaching us a few weeks ago. How many years did Jesus Christ not perform any miracles? For 30 years, he didn't do anything. For 30 years, he did nothing. God was just preparing him. And when his time was come, he began to manifest. For 24 years, God had been taking this man, Abraham, through his school. And when the time was the set time of the manifestation of the covenant, whose covenant? God's covenant. When that set time had come upon Abraham, now the child could be born. Brothers and sisters, many of our careers, we got into it bearing the name Abraham. Many of the relationships we have, we got into them bearing the name Abraham. Many of the houses we live in, we got into it when we were bearing Abraham. You know the seed of Abraham? Ishmael. What did he bring Abraham? Sorrow. Trouble. Trouble. When God's covenant, when it comes to pass, when the set time has come, it brings peace. It brings, you will know that, God has done something. Because it will be God who will say, lift up your head. Lift up your eyes. It won't be you who say, I will lift up my eyes and be looking. No, it won't be you. It won't be you saying, whatever I visualize in my mind, I will attract unto whom? Myself. It is no longer me, my. It is about what God has ordained for you when God's set time comes. What is God's school or university? It's the school of waiting. Abraham could not become a man of faith until he had waited that long. And during that time of waiting, though he tried to make it happen according to the wisdom of man, God did not count it against him. Because when the history of Abraham was now being recorded in the New Testament, if you go into Hebrews 11, you will not read about Ishmael there. It's an interesting thing. It's only the things you did in faith that will be recorded in the annals of history. It's only the things you did in faith. But If you go to, and please write it down, when you get home, I want to do some more research. Romans chapter 4. It also talks about this Abraham waiting on God, that he didn't forget what God had promised. I can imagine some of us, if somebody promises something, tell me, if I promise you something, I'll give you $1,000. If in 3 years, I don't give you $1,000, what will you do? Eh? You'll give up. You say that Barabu himself. Yeah. You forget. But Abraham never forgot. He never forgot. He never forgot. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. We can never work with God in our time. We can never work with God. You can't work with God and say it has to happen when now, or when you decree it, when you decree and declare it. No. And you see, part of what has been smuggled into church, which has been our undoing, is when preachers come and tell you, this is your layer of liberty. What God told you last year has to come to pass this year. I decree and declare, my sister, you'll be a nurse next year. No matter how I say it, how red I am in the face, or maybe black I am in the face, if God's set time hasn't come to pass, it will not shelle. If you want to walk with God, if you want to go through God's university to become a man of faith, and you know, without faith, you can't please God. You can't please God. So for you to be a person of faith, you have to walk through that university of waiting. But let me tell you, where we miss it, even as pastors, you see, the same thing I'm preaching to you, we struggle with it. Somebody says, by this time, your congregation should have been 200, 300. Look at that church that started. In 2 years, they're already 1,000. And you say, God, what are we doing wrong? In God's set time. Now, not only did Abraham have more children than Isaac, but which child was the child of promise? That was the only one. The child of promise. There's something beyond all other things that God will come to you about. And that is the only thing God will be concerned about. No matter what we do with our lives, no matter where we go with our lives, what matters is what has God said? What has God said? In your generation, I ask you, where's your Bible? You brought an iPhone. See, one of the things about your generation, which we did not experience, it's good though that all of you have phones, it's able to help you organize, is that you see this phone, it makes you, there's something called, as you have iPhone brings a disease with it, it's called eye crack. Yeah. There's Android, there's eye drop crack also, that every few minutes, you want to pick it up. If you are reading your Bible, very soon, what do? You scroll away from your Bible to other things. Very, very, what do they use for it? Eh? Addicted, you are short-minded. Whatever you want to happen now. You post something, you want people to begin to like. So yeah, how many likes do I have? That is your generation. It's very, very hard when you have short-term gratification to learn to wait for God's long-term plans. This month, we have started a period of fasting. Do you know what fasting does for you? It makes you wait for food. It's part of the same training. When you are waiting for food, Ishmael will want to come like coffee. All of you know yourselves. What is very hard to resist. But do you know what? As you resist it, what is being built? Faith. Because now, your dependence will no longer be upon you. But you get to say, God, please just give me strength. And what that patience does is it forces you to look to God for everything. Because when there is no short-term fix, you submit yourself to what God says, what God will do. You now begin to look to Him. When you are not eating, if you are not doing hunger strike, you know, we can do hunger strike in fasting. Do you know that? Where you're just fasting, but you're looking at the time. When will the break time come? You know, you begin to count down 3, 4, 5, 6. If you're not doing hunger strike, you will lose that time to talk to God also. I have seen that when the belly is full, the mind is dull. I'm not talking about anybody else. For me, it's what happens to when my belly is full, my mind is dull. But when I fast and I want to seek God, I'm sharp. I am sharp spiritually. When I wake up in the morning and I'm fasting, you know those fog that goes through your mind and you first of all have to find where you are in the room first, and then all that doesn't happen. When I'm fasting, it doesn't happen. Eh? Sorry. Fast daily. Oh, no, what I'm saying is that if you are doing like these 3 days, you don't eat for the 3 days. Yeah. By day three, you become like that. Yeah. The first few days will be the most difficult. The first few days will be the most difficult because you will think that heaven is coming down. You think that everything is coming to an end. But after about day three, something happens. You become alert. You become sharp. If you've never tried it, try it. Because we grow in, but please drink water. Drink water because your kidneys drink water. But try it. Yeah. By the time you get to day 10 of not eating anything, there's a place you begin to meet with God, which you have never been before. Because now, at that time, you will not want food. Because there's something about God's just satisfying that craving and that desire that you want to be with Him. There is something about waiting for God, waiting on God. Through deprivation of food, through deprivation of promises, quick promises, that will make you grow in the place of faith like Abraham grew. If we don't remember anything today, let's remember the father of Ishmael is Abraham. The father of Isaac is Abraham. Which one do you want in your life? Do you want Ishmael or do you want Isaac? Isaac. And Isaac has to be waited for. Isaac has to be waited for. It's only at God's set time that the promises of God in Isaac would manifest in your life. Please, let nobody steal these type of teachings from you. Any teaching that wants to give you things quick, I'm not saying that God doesn't come quick. God comes quick, but it has to be at a set time. Sometimes God will make it happen the next day or the next hour. But sometimes God can be slow. But in that slowness, God is developing something in you. God is making your dependence upon him, not upon yourself. God is making you dependent upon him. God is teaching you certain things also to be patient for what, for his set time. Because in that, you grow as Christians. So now, after a few encounters in life like that, you see, what people see are the Isaacs in your life. But they never see the time of tribulation between 75 and 99. Nobody ever looks at that. But you know what God has taken you through. Yes, Sister Rogi.
Preaching of waiting on God.
Yes.
Lastly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember he made a statement about in waiting on God, it's not like, you know, you'll still be doing things.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you prevent? I know it builds up your faith, but how do you prevent? Because, you know, flesh sometimes would fall into that Ishmael kind of situation. Mm-hmm. So how do we prevent that, you know, in us still building up that faith and not being, because there's some things, you know, that are, that will be hard, really yeah. hard to go through.
Let me give you a very concrete example. You've been praying for God, to God, for a husband. Okay? This man comes. He's pressuring you for sex. Will that be an Ishmael or an Isaac? Well, it's a big time Ishmael. But you're still going to work, right? You're still meeting other people. You're still working. You're still doing your daily chores. You're doing your daily tasks. You're doing what is meant for life to do. But in that aspect of what you are looking to God for, or what God has promised you about, there is a set time of when God will bring it to be. And God will test you.
But is it that God, for who, that person?
Because
sometimes to our desires.
Mm-hmm.
So is it that God promised you that you'll get married, or that's your desire to get married?
It can be both. There are certain desires. Now, part of that waiting is also bring our desires in line with God's will for our lives.
Okay.
Because many times, like I said, we can't see.
Mm-hmm.
We can't see ahead. But we can submit everything. God, I have tried in my own power. Mm-hmm. Nothing is coming. I submit to you. Whenever you want it, the hardest thing, if you want it for me.
Right. That's okay.
Because that is hard.
Yeah.
If you want it for me.
So sometimes I think that's where that preaching you're talking about the world saying envision it and all those
yeah.
kind of, because there are things that are desires.
Yes.
And so because there are desires, they say to you, envision it. You know, they say that something called a vision board that they
right.
talk about. To write it on that vision
right.
board and then tick it as it. I'm just, you know, those yeah. are why sometimes it seems
very good
people
question.
Fall into that.
Very
trap.
Good question. Very good question. God doesn't negate the desires of our hearts. But the question is, can we run after that desire in our strength? Or can we submit to God that, God, I want this, but whenever you make it happen, you will still meet, you know, young, where are the marriageable girls? You will still meet young men. Eh? You'll meet young men. Your parents will be praying for you to get married. Because your parents are also designing grandchildren. But you have to bring it under God's sovereignty. Because You can make it happen without God. Do you know that? Yes, it can happen without God. But Ishmael has never brought peace. Ishmael has never brought peace. It's always strife. Till today, the Ishmael of Abraham is still causing wahala. Yes, sir.
The book of Habakkuk.
Yes.
Chapter 2. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower. I will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I'm reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write a vision.
Mm-hmm. Make it plain.
And make it plain upon mm-hmm. tables mm-hmm. that he may run that readeth it.
Yes.
For the vision is yet for an appointed time.
Yes.
But at the end, it shall speak and not lie.
Very
though it tarry, wait for it.
Yes.
Because it will surely come.
Thank you very much. Tarry. Please, let's write that down. Habakkuk words. Habakkuk 2, 1 to 3. Rashagun, whose vision was written down? Thank you. Always remember that. Because God was the one who said, write it down, because God gave the vision. Not my vision. Not Habakkuk's vision. Because some preachers will tell you, what do you want? Write it down. Myself, I did it. I can tell you I did it. Before I got married, I wrote, God, I want a beautiful wife. I want a wife who can cook. I want a guy who is an African. I want a... There's what that he calls pass. My wife is not African. She's here. Oh. Bracken.
Visualizing what we want.
Yes.
And faith.
And faith.
Yes.
Okay. What? Okay. Whose promise was Isaac? God's promise. Brother Ken, one of the things that is the most difficult for us as Christians to learn and to accept is that God's promises and ways are always better than what we want for ourselves. I understand what you are saying. You know, there are certain desires that we want, but as we grow in God, we will come to learn that contrary to what people may think, that God doesn't want the best for you. You cannot outwant God's best for yourself. My brother, let me tell you something. I worked at a place called Freddie Mac for 11 years. I thought that was where I was going to retire. That was in 1997, when I started working there. To tell you how good it was, I don't think I've ever told this story before. They paid yearly bonuses. That was in around 1995, 96, 97. They gave me, it was 94, 97, 98, sorry. They gave me a bonus in that company because I came to America in 94. So I was still a little bit of a JJC. JJC is Johnny Just Come. Somebody who had just here. They gave us a bonus. My bonus that year was $16,000. I went to collect the bonus cash, not knowing that they don't collect that kind of cash from the bank. Because I thought it was like I did. They gave me the money, but they made me wait for about an hour. I didn't know that at the back, before they give you that, they first of all call the company, call everybody. If they need to call police. But I waited, I collected my money. Okay? 2008 happened. I thought that, no, there's nothing better than this company. 2008 happened. The same company, Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae, were the one who called the global catastrophe. I was laid off. For 2 years, no job. Church supported me. Don't know if you ever look for a job that you get tired looking for a job when you call, nothing is happening. The day that was a set time of God, the person who sent Brother Tunde play this keyboard said, Brother Bumi, my company is looking for a developer. Send me your resume. You know, when you've tried of your own and you've given up that, this can this thing work? I said, you know, it's another trial. He called me again. Okay, just send it to me. Don't send it to them. I sent it to him. Just like, okay, don't bother me. He sent it. They called me for interview. I did the interview. They called and said, how was it? I said, well, I tried. It wasn't my best interview. That was the hiring manager. He said, they really want you. How much do you want? At that time, I said, when I left my job 2 years ago, I was making $90,000. If they give me that, I'll be very fine. That was what I wouldn't want anything more than that. The man said, ask for $120,000. You see, all the things I was looking for, you see how they were falling short of what God had done. Normally, when people interview you, you go for first interview, second interview, third interview. I only went for one interview. Me, I thought it wasn't the best I could do. They were the one who said, ah, please, we want him. He taught me something. And in this America, I have never had to, in my own strength, say, I found this job by myself. Even this job that I got, after 5 years, I resigned because of troubles in the job. The next one I got, it was even no interview. It was the manager who was in this job, who left, called me that, Bumi, we need somebody here. Are you looking for work? Me, that for another 2 years, I'd been looking for work. I didn't find anything. I said, yes, sir. So I can't go into, when you submit to God, what God will do for you. You see, I've said it before. Your mind will, and God will say, close it. Because what the Bible says that he gives you more than you can ever ask for or imagine. That is our God. So your desires they don't even come close to what God wants for you. But if you can learn it, and not trust that if God doesn't give me my desires, then everything is finished. If you can learn to wait for his desire, you will have more than you can ever ask. This woman, God gave to me. Is now I'm realizing why God gave to me, even though she's an Oyibo woman. But that's the topic for another day. That's a topic for another day. You know. Let us pray. Precious Lord, thank you. Thank you for the Isaacs you have blessed our lives with. Because your set time is always the best. Your word tells us that you make all things beautiful in your own time. And truly, we can attest to it over and over again that when we wait for you, when we learn to hear from you, when we wait on you, truly you renew strength, you bring peace, you bless with your own blessings. Father, may we not give birth to Ishmaels in our lives, O Lord. May we not to give birth to our carnal desires for ourselves. Father, help us to wait for you, for your timing, in your own school of learning, in your own school of hard knocks. Because the end is always a beautiful end. Abraham became the father of faith, by which we ourselves, when we believe without working for it, we are called people of faith. Thank you for that which you have done, not according to human strength, not according to human wisdom, but according to the grace that you have granted. And so, Father, I pray for each and every one of your children today. Bestow us all with your grace, O Lord. Bestow us all with the strength to wait for you when the times are hard, when it is difficult to wait, when the things we have longed for are not yet coming to pass. Lord, help us to trust you, that if you have said it, you will do it. Precious Lord, I pray these blessings upon each and every one of your children. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.